From Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 Houston, this is Open Journal in Exile. Open Journal is the Houston community magazine of the airwaves. Join us as Duane Bradley and Stephanie Coleman explore the wonder that is the Petro Metro and the people who make it happen. And now from our temporary, socially distanced, alternative studios in Exile, somewhere in the greater Houston area, this is Open Journal in Exile. Let the conversation begin.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome aboard. You are tuned into another edition of Open Journal in Exile. We thank you for joining us at Houston's Community Station. This is a special in Exile edition of Open Journal. We appreciate your support. Thanks for sharing your time with us. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. The Houston Women's March will bring together women and allies for a peaceful protest on Saturday, October 2nd, 2021. Participants will gather at Discovery Green and then march to Houston City Hall beginning at 9 a.m. The event will also include voter registration stations, speakers, and musical performances. The march will serve as a peaceful protest of dire current events in Texas, including Senate Bill 8, which is equivalent to an unconstitutional ban on abortion, recently passed voter suppression laws, redistricting measures, discriminatory proposals harming the trans community, the inhumane treatment of immigrants along the border and throughout the state, attacks on Asian Americans, and more. Joining us to add some detail and background information are Robin Paoli and Chris Caldwell. Robin is a sixth-generation Texan. Robin volunteers and serves as president of the executive committee behind the group. Chris Caldwell is a newcomer to Houston. They are a 27-year-old Dallas native who has always been passionate about human rights and protecting the arts. After college, they went to New York City and has been an active part of the queer organizing in the Brooklyn area. They are now the VP of a grassroots organization, Hoochies of Houston. Robin, Chris, we welcome you to Open Journal.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for getting on board Open Journal this special edition. Robin, I'd like to start with you as president of the executive committee behind this march coming up. What is the official theme of this march and how did it come together, please?
The official theme is reclaiming our rights. The state legislature has been chipping away at our human rights. And so whether it's voter suppression or trans kids or women's bodily autonomy, or even the rights of cities and municipalities to decide their own future, the legislature keeps taking away our rights. That's the catalyst for Saturday's march, is that it's time for us to reclaim our rights.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how did you, Robin, come to be involved and engaged with this movement?
I've been a lifelong advocate and fighter for justice in many ways. And sometimes it was direct, peaceful action. Sometimes it was through policy work. Sometimes it was through the organizations and people that I went to work for, supported. So often it was behind the scenes. No matter what else I was doing with my life or where I was working, had a lot of grassroots experience trying to help people make a better world. And I was deeply disturbed by the hate-filled rhetoric in 2015 and 2016, the visible rise of white nationalism and hate groups, and the rise of violence against people of different ethnicities and cultures. And despite all the work I'd done all my life, it felt like we were going backwards and not forwards. And so in January of 2017, I stepped up to lead the Women's March in Houston, along with a team of volunteers from all over the area. And after the march, it was more than 25,000 people. And at the time, it was the largest peaceful demonstration in downtown Houston. We convened all those marchers over a series of meetings and asked them what they wanted to do. And they wanted us to become a nonpartisan nonprofit dedicated to women and their allies creating change. We've done more than 120 actions and events with more than 100,000 people both locally and nationally since then. And now we've got an opportunity to co-host the October 2nd event with Chris, our other guest, with Chris and Stephanie and their team. And we're so delighted to work with them on this. But that's how I got to be involved.
Nice. So you kind of led into the very next question, which was for Chris and your role in this march and the movement, if you could speak to that.
Yeah, my role in, with this specific march is, like Robin said, we're co-hosting the march. Myself and the organization that I'm a part of, we have not been an organization long. It's been 5 months since we've been even thought of or dreamt of and put something on paper. And I was put in contact with Robin through someone mutual. And we have hit the ground running since the minute that I got Robin's number, trying to see how we could be there for each other and how we could work together to have this be what it needs to be, to reclaim everything that has been stolen and taken from us. So that's how I got involved and that's how I met Robin. And this is just going to keep going. It's not going to stop on the set.
That's right.
It is sort of interesting to hear Robin, even as we're looking at the generations that are on this interview and the conversations that are being held. And it can be very heartbreaking to see that in some ways it does feel like we're sort of going backwards. In other ways, it feels cyclical. What keeps you motivated and inspired and pushing in spite of the growing waves of energy, a negative energy that seem to rise around these issues?
Thank you. That's a great question. And part of what keeps me energized and focused and keep doing this is folks like Chris. Chris is brave. Chris knows what justice looks like and is working towards it. And the kind of energy that they bring into this, it just motivates me even more. I just have a sense that if we give up now, all the good work, all the shoulders of the people we're standing on, all the people, all the women and allies and men that we've of every possible description who've come before us, I want to honor their work. And so there is a generational difference between me and Chris, and Chris is a younger generation than I am. And, you know, from my earliest days as a child and seeing the late 60s and early 70s of both the civil rights and the push for women's rights, that caught fire in my heart when I was a kid. And it's not right that people wouldn't be free. It's not right that people would have their rights abrogated. It's injustice for anyone is injustice for all. And I'm determined to see liberation, that we will see liberation for women and men and children of every possible description. And I'm so glad to be working with Chris and her team on this.
Mm-hmm. You're tuned to a special edition of Open Journal in Exile. This is Pacifica Radio, 90.1 FM in Houston, 100,000 broadcast watts of stereophonic, people-powered community radio. We thank you for sharing your time and tuning in to join us on this edition of Open Journal. I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I am Stephanie Coleman. Chris, if you can explain to us what your role is in this march and what your hopeful outcome is.
And maybe beyond that, to further what you've already shared, Chris.
Yeah.
As co-host, the organization that you are part of co-hosting this entirety, we got to know, what exactly is Hoochies of Houston?
Yes.
And can we get some details on this, please?
Yes. We are an organization that is dedicated to holding our leaders accountable. In legislation, we are dedicated to doing what needs to be done to hold them accountable because they are literally killing us. These laws are killing us, right? We are Hoochies of Houston, and so we are dedicated to Black women specifically, but we are all-encompassing. We fight for non-binary people. We fight for femmes. We fight for all of us. So our idea of justice looks like starting from the ground up. So there is a privilege hierarchy, right? So people who are most disenfranchised, most targeted, most set aside, most violated, we start with you in mind first, that being Black women, Black girls, Black femmes. And my hope is that with this march, we not only hold our political leaders accountable, but the very white allies that will be at this march, we hold them accountable too. So as liberal as we all love to be, we are all flawed, right? So we want to hold each other accountable because that is really where you see how much that person values you and what you stand for and who you are. So our political leaders, our allies, people who are new to this, who really have no idea where to start. We just started 5 months ago. So we're learning with them, and we want them to know that we're doing it together. And you said the generational thing. I saw, I have a quote in mind. Someone said, white people and our political officials owned our wombs when we got here, and we refused to let them do it again. So that is what I have in mind when we are doing this work for this march specifically right now. We refuse to let anybody else do that to us moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As you do discuss sort of the historical challenges that are still being fought for, and the upcoming and current issues that seem to, I don't know if it's continuation of an older dilemma that we have yet to resolve, or new dilemmas with new titles. What are the most pressing issues that you see today? And what should allies and supporters, you know, bring as a part of participating and having a voice at the march?
So the most pressing things, in my opinion, are policing and autonomy, right? But even when we think about policing, autonomy is in that, whether you're policing, it's state sanctioned, or someone's physical body, right? So those things are incredibly pressing. And then more people being involved with voting, I think, which is why I love that they're having voter registration spaces at the march, because, and I just got deputized, so.
Yeah, great.
So I am good to go to register people at the march. We will be doing that. We have to understand we are Black, we are people of color. We do not always have representation in political spaces, but we do have a voice. So we have to vote. We have to do those things. And then what allies should bring to the march is maybe a willingness to listen. And I don't really know what you should bring to the march, but I know what you shouldn't bring. I don't believe you should come with the mindset of like a savior type of thing. You're not coming to save anybody. You're coming to stand with the people who are saving themselves. So no egos, no, none of that, but definitely come willing to listen, willing to look inward at what you do to contribute to the violence, and just like ready to turn up, because as much as this is serious and our lives are on the line, but we have to make this something, you know, positive, or just be sad crying the whole time.
Mm-hmm. And Robin, as you look to experience and galvanize community around the march, what are your pressing issues? There are so many, but in terms of prioritizing it for those who come, and how should they stand with and show either solidarity or support when they come to the march?
Well, first of all, I just want to raise up everything Chris just said. You know, we're coming in fired up, but also humble, because we need to learn. We need to support each other. We need to learn. Nobody's here saving, you know, there's no savior attitude. It's the humility and open heart, open mind, ready to learn, ready to work together, and maybe ready to see each other in some new ways. See each other more clearly and see the heart and the humanity and the striving that we all have together. The two pillar issues that we discuss as we promote the march this Saturday, October 2nd, are voting rights and women's rights. And so, as Chris said, voter registration stations all over the place. And as people interact with the deputy voter registrars, if they're already registered, then that volunteer deputy voter registrar is going to encourage them to go become a volunteer deputy voter registrar, just as Chris has, just as I have, so that we're always able to bring, you know, more voters in and to discuss voting rights, because the state keeps trying to suppress our vote. And including this recent, I'd say it's foolishness, except it's dangerous, about recounting part of the 2020 vote in Texas, which is, you know, the other thing is women's rights. The legislature keeps carving away at women's rights, their autonomy, their place in the world. You know, Chris had said earlier something about the tiers, the hierarchies. So based on the actions that the legislature keeps taking in our state, it's like there are these tiers of people. It depends on your gender, your ethnicity, your color of your skin, your country of origin, that all this contributes to either how far down or how far up you are. And that's not right. That is not right. We're going to keep marching and keep voting and keep advocating and keep raising our voices and keep showing up until there really is equality for all. For this march, it's women's rights and voting rights that for me are the two pillars. Historically, in the work that we've done as Houston Women March On over the last five-ish years, is, you know, we've covered a wide spectrum of criminal justice, of, you know, all the different things, anti-racism, just so many different things. But if we're not voting, how are we going to reclaim our rights? Mm-hmm. We've got to vote, and we've got to vote in large numbers. And I think it's fear of that. It's fear of us all turning up and voting that has led the state to keep shaving away our voting rights. And that's not right. We're in a democracy. And it's time for Texas to look like a democracy.
Indeed it is. You're 100% correct in that the sort of underserved, undervoiced community definitely needs representation. But there are so many people who are voting maybe against their own self-interest with who they put in office or who we're voting for that is not necessarily for in policy, the collective. How do you sort of in a perfect world feel that we can reconcile that, that it's not that individuals are in office unchecked, but that as with the small margin, I feel for our last presidential election, there are a lot of citizens who are agreeing with the policies of the elected official in office. How do we engage our neighbors and our coworkers and our friends and our families to also be advocates for the collective whole? If elected officials are serving their stakeholders, right, then where is that balance?
Because I don't know. And the very thing that you just said is the reason why a lot of people feel discouraged when it comes to voting, because the majority of the people who are voting and completely agree with the foolishness that is being put out. So I really don't have an answer. Mm-hmm. Maybe you do.
I don't have the answer either, but I do believe that together we can come up with the answers beyond the calculated insanity that's being fed to this base of people behind our governor and lieutenant governor and a few senators and a handful of representatives. I won't go into too much detail, but you know who I'm talking about. Louis Gohmert. Oh, sorry, I named him. beyond that calculated insanity, this Saturday, we're getting to a to a wrap point here, but this coming weekend, when we come together at Discovery Green, what's that going to look like? And can you walk through, I guess, the logistics question from Stephanie earlier also was maybe like, do I need to like bring like a bottle of water and or an umbrella and a sun hat and maybe some sunblock and maybe some mace just in case, maybe, you know, and of course, a camera and a good heart. But beyond that, how should people get involved and register and participate? And if you don't feel that you're up to hiking all the way from George Brown to City Hall, which is kind of a fun walk, but you might not be up to that. Can you maybe be at the end point and not miss too much? Can you be at the beginning point and then not miss too much if you don't take the hike? What's that look like as we need to know, and how can we find out more?
Okay, well, I'd like to take the logistics part of that, but Chris, if you wouldn't mind, unless it's a surprise, do you want to talk about the bags?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Okay. So if you are not able to like actually take the walk, or you just simply don't want to for whatever reason, you can help. We have reproductive justice bags that are full of things like, you know, help safe sex, navigate things like that. There are tampons, hygiene products, doula information, medical information, places that help with abortion aftercare, Plan B coupons, small waters, sanitizers, face masks. And I have on a shirt that says Black Voters Matter. And they have also helped sponsor products in those bags. So you get wristbands, you get face masks, and you have little buttons to tell you where to go, how you can get deputized, how to renew your voter registration, just a bunch of different things. So you can either come and pass them out at the beginning, or you can meet at the end and make sure that people have those things, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're so excited about the part of the leadership that Chris and her team have done has been to bring all of that together. And so as to some of the logistics, all the information is on our website, which is HoustonWomen'sMarch.org. So it's really clear, and there's an S in there, HoustonWomen'sMarch.org. Mm-hmm. And you'll see all the event information, how to RSVP to get extra updates, how to donate. We're 100% volunteer. I'm a volunteer. We're all volunteers. And we've got security, sound systems, porta potties, all that. And so we definitely need for folks to donate. And to donate to support the work that Chris and their group is doing. And the but in terms of walking through this, we're going to leave at 9 from, we think, the northwestern point of Discovery Green, which is along McKinney. And it's a free speech march, and I'm sure HPD will be out there and they'll guide us in the direction we need to go. But come early, bring your posters. We've even got a poster making hub. And when you sign up to march for us, we send you information about where to go to get your to make your own poster. And we've got artists who are helping with that process. We're also going to be sharing out information through the website about good transportation options, how to take light rail or where to park if you bring your own car, that sort of thing. We do want folks. The weather looks like it's going to be very pleasant, but it could be warm and a little bit sunny. So we do want folks to wear a hat or have their, you know, sunscreen or whatever. Definitely bring a small bottle, and also be prepared to sort of, they tell hikers this sometimes when you go into a national forest, pack in and pack out. Mm-hmm. So have a little backpack or a bag or a fanny pack or, you know, what waste bag maybe is what they're calling it these days, fanny pack when I was younger, but have something where your stuff can go in there. And so that what you take on the march, you can take home with you. And there are going to be chants and singing and posters, and we're going to raise the roof. And you notice that we haven't said much about speakers because we've got some surprise speakers that we're going to be announcing this week. And then when we get to City Hall is where we're going to have the big rally. And folks on stage inspiring us to take actions. And as Chris said earlier, the end point is not the rally at City Hall. That's the launch point, because it's out of this that we keep going. It's out of this that we keep organizing, getting voters, teaching people how to run for office, and teaching people how to support a good candidate. I think often we want a perfect candidate, and sometimes we just have to find common cause with a good candidate. Mm-hmm. And we want more women and allies and young people running for office. We hope that Saturday is a launch point for a new generation of folks running for office and supporting candidates across the state.
That is wonderful. Fantastic. And Chris, before we go, what's a good contact for your organization as well?
Before I answer that, I did want to also say that we do have Spanish translators. We do have an ASL person with ASL.
Yeah.
We do have people to navigate people with physical disabilities. We do have the organization that I'm with. We will be carrying waters. So if anyone is not able to bring anything, just bring your body in a willing attitude and we will give you a sign. We will give you a shirt. We will give you a water. But for the organization, my organization on Instagram, we are literally Hoochies of Houston.
Okay.
We are destigmatizing what it means to be a hoe and to be liberated and to be Black and be sexual or not sexual. So that is why our name is that. So on Instagram, Hoochies of Houston, Twitter, Hoochies of Houston, and our PayPal. If any allies are listening and you want to donate, our PayPal is Social Justice Solutions.
Very nice.
And the overarching access point is HoustonWomen'sMarch.org. One long word on the web. Easy to find. We look forward to it. We thank you both for sharing. We thank you for volunteering and for what you do to make our city, our home, our world ever more a better place. So Robin Paoli, Chris Caldwell, thank you so much for joining us on this special edition of Open Journal in Exile.
Thank you.
All right, dear friends, it is time to wrap this edition of Open Journal. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your support. Remember, kpft.org, always available. The red donate button is looking for your attention, and we could use it. And we will be asking you more pointedly in the very next edition of Open Journal. Thank you again. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. This program and additional programs can be found in our archive at kpft.org. Please subscribe to our podcast. That's KPFT-OJ. Remember, we are a dedicated all-volunteer production staff, including Rambling Rick Campbell, Susan Phillips, and Maverick. Open Journal theme music provided by Kevin McLeod. Join us on Open Journal next time for more great conversations. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your donations. And thanks for your support.
Stay tuned right after this program for another edition of Mavericks Midday. And as always, we leave you with a thought to carry you through the week. It comes to us this time from Maya Angelou, who said, "Love recognizes no barriers. It jumps hurdles, leaps fences, penetrates walls to arrive at its destination full of hope." Take care of each other. Peace.